Long before they learn to speak, and forever after, our children exhibit behaviors that can communicate a lot about how they are feeling. From the tears and tantrums of toddlers to the rolling eyes and blatant challenges of teens, kids are often communicating in powerful ways, if only we can find the patience to pay attention. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guests today are Candace Radosky and Mary Louise Cohen. Candace and Mary Louise co-facilitate SCAN's ABCs of Parenting classes, and today we'll discuss how we can be more aware of our children's behavior and cues, respond to their needs, and strengthen how we communicate with and raise our children. So thank you both for joining us this morning. Candace, let's start with sort of understanding sort of normal parent reactions. So normally when a child misbehaves, how do we as parents normally react?
I think that varies based on sort of parenting styles, and there are kind of three main camps that parents fall into in terms of style. So there are more controlling parents who really have an intolerance for misbehavior and will respond in very controlling ways, and there are really permissive parents who are warm and cozy, but they don't have a lot of structure, and so they might be more indulgent of that kind of misbehavior. And then there are kind of authoritative or more democratic parents who try to balance their approach and consider what's developmentally appropriate in terms of expectations and you know, how to respond so that it nurtures the child's development.
So Mary Louise, within that spectrum, what recommendations do you all give parents for how it's best to respond?
Well, I think you have to respond genuinely, but you also want to respond in a way that nurtures the child. First of all, stay calm. And that's no easy trick at times. But if you can, acknowledge the child's feelings, because that's where the child is. That doesn't mean you like it. That doesn't mean you condone it. But you can acknowledge it. Also, if you can, get to the child's level. I remember working with preschoolers at times, and if I could get down on my knees and kind of look eye to eye, all of a sudden there wasn't this big person and this little tiny person. It was two of us down there working on whatever this was. So that seemed to help. If you can make statements calmly to the child and maybe put the child's feelings into words, because often children at that age don't have those words, you can help. If it's appropriate, you can offer choices to a child. You can just say, how can I help you? I can see you're frustrated, or I can see this isn't going right for you. How can I help? The child needs you to stay calm and stay in control and be helpful.
Great advice. So let's start with some examples of what this looks like. What are some common behavioral cues that children give us, and what might they be communicating to us?
Well, that's exactly it. Behavior is communication. And so if the child is an infant, there might be cues like rubbing their face or rubbing their eyes, and that can tell us that they're tired. If they turn their head away from something, it might mean that they're overstimulated and they want you to stop shaking the squeaky toy in front of their face. If they're crying, it could just be communicating that they have a basic need that needs to be met. They're tired and they can't calm themselves. They're hungry and they need to be fed. They're not comfortable physically. And so we should look to that communication as a way to help them or help us help them meet their needs. Toddlers start to get a little trickier because they start to get really enthusiastic to exert control and independence as they start to realize that they have some power. And so we do see more tantrums and kind of disruptive behavior. And often that's because they're not happy about a loss of control in some way. If we can think about toddlers' misbehavior as either an attempt to attain something or avoid something, that's a place for parents to start to think, what is it that they want or what is it that they're trying to avoid, and then respond accordingly or appropriately. And then as children get older, school age and teens, there really are some specific goals of misbehavior that have been identified. And when parents can understand what that goal of the misbehavior is, then they're able to put in place structures or options that can help school-age children and teens meet those goals in appropriate ways. So some goals include looking for attention, exerting independence or power. They might just want excitement. If they're mad at parents, they might be looking for revenge. They might on purpose be trying to hurt your feelings or make you angry. And for children with a really low self-esteem, they might be trying to prove that they're inadequate and, you know, avoid things. For example, not doing homework regularly to prove, I know I'm not a good student, I know I'm not smart. And so when parents are able to identify what that goal is, then it's easier to put in place ways to meet that goal that are appropriate.
So trying to see where the child's coming from and try to respond in a way that empowers them to deal with that sort of underlying issue as opposed to just the external behavior.
Exactly, because the in-the-moment behavior is not always the root of the issue. You might have to dig a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm. Good point. So let's go back to sort of the younger child example first, Mary Louise. When, say, a child throws a tantrum because it's time to get in the car and he doesn't want to get in the car, mm-hmm. what would you recommend parents' approach to that tantrum be?
Well, first of all, if you can avoid it, avoid it. That's easier said than done. But if you can anticipate that the child's going to be too tired, too hungry, too something, and you can resolve that prior to that whole scene, do it.
So build them up for success.
Yes, exactly. Because you really do want to set the child up for success as often as possible. But there are times when a child must get in a car and doesn't want to, and there's the tantrum. So don't get hooked by it. Stay calm. You need to be the adult. That child is acting to demonstrate or to communicate something to you. You probably already knew that, but don't get hooked and match the behavior, because adult tantrums aren't pretty, so we don't want to have them. Try to respond appropriately to the age. If the child's very small, you scoop them up, you put them in the car seat, you strap the car seat in, and you try to distract them. You hand them one or two of the favorite toys, and you just go on with your business, because that's what has to happen. If the child's a little older, the distraction may not work. So you may have to acknowledge the frustration. And even with the younger child, acknowledge the frustration. I can see that you really don't want to get in the car. However, we have to get in the car. We have to put on our seatbelts and head on. So you don't want to get into an argument with the child, because there aren't two or three different outcomes here. You're going to get in the car and you're going to go on. So don't set it up like there's anything to discuss. There really isn't. And don't bribe the child. Don't get sucked in and say, if you stop crying, I will get you this, that, and the other. I will feed you candy. I will buy you ice cream. No.
Then you're teaching the child that it works.
Right, right. You don't really want to set that one up. But you can offer companionship. I can see that you don't want to be doing this, but since we have to do it, let's sing a song. Or let me tell you a story. Or let's play this game.
Well, that's a nice way to sort of acknowledge the feeling and give them a constructive way mm-hmm. to deal with that feeling. But also you get what you need as a parent,
right.
Which is we're mm-hmm. getting on our way to where it is we're mm-hmm. supposed to be going.
And just as I do for myself, I keep a little stash of healthy snacks in the car for the child as well. I said don't bribe. But I'm not beyond handing a snack bar or a carrot or something back to the back seat to see if that serves as a distraction or a help.
Mm-hmm. Great. If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with two of SCAN's amazing volunteer parent educators, Candace Radosky and Mary Louise Cohen. So, Candace, let's address, I think, what might be a common thought among our listeners. Well, if I only deal with the feelings, then am I letting the child get away without sort of consequences for their actions or not addressing the problem behavior? So how, as a parent, can we deal with that sort of finding a balance between addressing the need but also not condoning the behavior?
One way is by creating and maintaining a strong discipline system within your family, and one that incorporates that empathy, acknowledging feelings, but still remains a structure within it to provide expectation for the children. One way I like to do that is by providing the structure for developmentally appropriate expectations up front. In other words, before we get into a situation. So with younger children, it might sound something like, I expect inside voices and cooperation in the grocery store. If that happens, you get to pick out dessert for tonight, or you get 30 minutes of TV when we get home, or something like that. And where that differs from bribing is you're not saying, if you stop this terrible behavior, I'll give you something that you want. You're allowing them to make a choice to be successful. And so then you are then rewarding the child's choice to meet your expectation. With natural consequences, it might be something like, you know, if you bring your iPod to the baseball game and something happens to it, it's not going to be replaced. Are you sure that's worth it? And then if a child's iPod gets broken, it's hard to remain calm, although that is the very best thing to do. But then the child has lost their iPod, and that's the natural consequence. And then you can still, even if you are implementing unpleasant consequences, you can still express empathy if a child is upset because they didn't meet an expectation and aren't happy with the consequences. You know, you can still say something like, I can tell you're really disappointed about that. I would be too. Or I know it really doesn't feel great when this happens. I never like that either. You know, you can still kind of be on their side even though you're holding them to the expectations and keeping them to the consequences.
That accountability.
Yeah.
We have just about a minute left, but let's address the other end of the age spectrum really quickly. Mary Louise, any suggestions for how do we read the behavioral cues of teens?
Well, certainly you can read aggressive behavior, but passive-aggressive behavior can also give you a lot of information. And by that, I mean maybe your child's not responding to you. Or maybe your child's being rough on siblings. Or pushing your buttons, figuring out what annoys you, and just doing it. It seems like for the sake of doing it. I know with one of our children, if we got a blatant no, it was very clear. But if we got a shrug to a question, that was probably a yes. So we had to watch shoulders. If a child's reluctant to do something he or she likes, that can be a cue that something's going on. Or from teachers or friends, you may be getting comments or concerns, all of which can indicate that there might be something going on that you want to explore later. And at that point in our family, we'd take a long walk because that's how our kids would talk.
And how you get to know them. Great advice from both of you. It's important to remember that whether you have an infant or a teenager, they're not always going to be able to talk to you about their feelings. Instead, those feelings may get expressed as yelling, tears, or violation of rules. The next time you notice your child's escalating behavior, take a moment to consider what feelings, fears, or frustrations their behavior might be expressing. Has your toddler had a snack lately? Is your preteen scared to start middle school? Was your teenager needing some one-on-one time with you after a few busy weeks? Children don't always understand their feelings, much less have the ability to perfectly express their needs. As a parent, work to create calm, safe spaces for them to learn how to express these feelings and needs in appropriate and effective ways. Try to read their cues and help them learn how to talk about their feelings. Every opportunity to respond to their needs rather than react to a behavior is a chance to help them feel better about themselves and more connected to you as their parent. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quinones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Candace and Mary Louise for joining me to talk about this very important topic. Remember, every child and family matters. We all play a critical role in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about your child's behavior cues and other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.